Hello, everybody. This is Kenny Evans and David Berry, and welcome to It's What You Keep. This is a podcast dedicated to helping you learn how to keep more of the money you earn so you can turn your income into lasting wealth. All right. So, Dave, today we're going to take up the topic of expenses and frivolous spending. It's an interesting topic overall, because I think as we have delved into this topic, we realize that it's very personal, right?
That's right. Yeah, because you know our expenses are unique to the individual. And one of the things we have to do is we have to be honest with ourselves in terms of what our expenses are, what are good expenses or needs, and what are frivolous expenses, things we don't need but want.
So, you know, just to kind of kick this off, it hit me, I thought it'd be an interesting question. Just thinking back and, you know, we've been around the sun a few times. So I'll say in the last 10 years, what would you say is the craziest thing you spent money on that you really didn't need? What would you say that would be?
Right. I would say that it's not a crazy thing, but the reason I did it was crazy. Oh. So you know, when I first started, you know, working, I was living at the house with my mom and dad. Yep. And I had this Honda Accord. Well, the first car I had was a Volkswagen Fox. And then I bought a Honda Accord. And I had a Honda Accord for about 2 years. And then my mom, she bought a Lexus, the Lexus ES300.
Okay.
And I didn't want my mom to have a better car than me. So I sold my Honda Accord and bought a bigger Lexus.
No way.
Yep,
no
way. Not a smart move at all.
Oh my God. I remember, I mean, I'd forgotten your mom had a Lexus, if I ever knew that. But I remember when you bought your Lexus, because I think you got the GS400 or something, right?
That's right.
And I remember thinking that car was just sweet. I just thought that was a sweet car. But I did not know that you were flexing on your mom.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Well.
And not the cheapest car in the world.
Yep. And there was nothing wrong with the Honda. I only had it for about 3 years.
Wow.
That's it.
Wow. Yep. Wow.
Well, what's the craziest thing you've ever bought?
Ooh. Can we limit it to the last 10 years? Because that list is long. But, you know, I'd say, man, that's a tough one. Because, you know, I do triathlons, right? So,
yeah.
So I drop a lot of money on equipment. It's a very expensive sport just in general, I think. And I think probably the craziest thing I bought is my time trial bike, what they call a time trial bike. Now, in triathlon, you know, you can spend a lot of money on a bicycle, but you know, a lot of people think, you know, if I get a better bike, I'll be a faster person. It's never the bike. If you're getting beat all the time, it's not the bike. It's you. But I spent three times as much on that bike as I did any other bike before that. And I think that's the craziest thing. I won't say that I don't love that bike and I don't ride it, because I do all the time. But does it qualify as something I absolutely needed? Not even close. Not even close.
Right.
Yeah. So I'd put, that's the thing that comes to mind the fastest. I you know, don't have an expensive car. You know, my wife and I have one car. So yeah, I throw that out there. But then you get into what is that, you know, that begs our question today. What is a need? If you decide, for example, you needed a car to get to and from work, I'm assuming. So you're going to spend something on a car. You had a car. Or, you know, if I want to do triathlons, which is a, you know, besides a great way to get in shape, it's something that you know, is fun to me and exciting. Do you qualify that as a need? And so.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, when you talked about the bike, I thought that, well, you know, if you're a triathlon, well, you need the equipment that you need to have you know, to be good at the sport or the craft that you're doing. You know, because if you're a woodworker, you're going to need the tools to do woodworking. So I look at that and think that, wow, that's not frivolous at all. That's not like a, that's like a need. You know, you really need that. And so when we look at what's a need versus what's a frivolous expense, it becomes a personal choice.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I, when you were given the woodworker example, I guess it comes down to, does the woodworker need the lathe that, you know, does the basic cuts, the basic 8, 10, whatever cuts there are, or do they need the one that's computer? Do they need a CDC machine? I think you know what a CDC machine is. Yeah. It's a computer controlled a machine. You program it and it does, you put the wood or the metal on it, it does it. Do you need that? And I think it does beg to what is your job? If you're making money with it, then that to me is a business expense. But if it's something you're doing as a hobby, yeah. So, you know, how do we start quantifying this? What, I mean, last time we talked about figuring out where we are.
Right. And so once we figure out where we are, we talked about that in a previous episode. So now that you know what you're spending your money on, you really have to take a look at those items that you're spending money on and start to categorize them as, you know, what's a need and what's a want. Like you can identify things right off the bat as a need or an expense, like your mortgage, your lights and your food and your clothing. But now you have to be really honest with yourself in terms of deciding whether, do I need clothes right now or do I just want clothes right now? Or do I need to eat, of course, but do I need to eat out at a restaurant every day, 2-3 times a week? Now, that would classify, you know, as a want or desire.
Okay, so that's a good distinction. So you have to eat. You need to eat to live, period. We know that. But do you need to eat out at a steak restaurant every night or every other night or whatever? So what would you categorize as the basic needs? Let's start there. What are the very basic needs would you say are?
Yeah, I think that the basic needs are anything that allows you to one, live, shelter, food, clothing, and then we start to, you know, branch out from there in terms of insurance, things that you need to have to allow yourself to make a living. Like if you live in an area where you don't have public transportation, well, you need a vehicle, some sort of a vehicle. Well, that becomes a need at that point. But if you live in the city, like you, I think we talked before, where you lived in downtown Chicago, where there was, you know, plenty of public transportation, you really didn't need a vehicle, but you wanted one. So those are the kind of things we have to classify as needs, or how we classify things as a need.
So we're talking food, we're talking shelter, we're talking clothing, and the means to have those things. All right. Gotcha. So we'd start there with the basics. Those are the very basic needs. And theoretically, you know, I've known people. We have a good friend, just call him T for the purposes of this podcast, who, you know, had a very low, what was it? He was low maintenance in that he didn't need a lot of stuff. And when he was working for this one company where he was an insurance adjuster, they gave him a car. So he had a car that was given to him by the company. So he didn't have a car note. And as part of his job, he had to go to wherever the latest disaster had occurred and spend 6 to 7 months out of a hotel adjusting people's claims. And generally speaking, by the time he finished adjusting claims, another disaster had happened somewhere else. So he was constantly on the road for like 2 or 3 years. So he didn't have a car note. He didn't have a house. He didn't have somewhere other to live because he was living in hotels. And, you know, and he had a stipend for food. So, you know, this guy pounded away a ton of money into a bank account because his basic expenses food, and shelter were already taken care of, as well as a means to earn those things. In terms of clothing, if you remember T, he wasn't shopping in Nordstrom's. You know, he was not that dude. So there is a lifestyle that, you know, where you can just do the needs and then go from there. But what we find is that, you know, people want to, you know, they feel they deserve to live, to have fancy things. Or you find people who are caught up into, you know, showing off for other folks, which is always a bad road to go down. You know, you talk about Dave Ramsey in the past, and he talks about you're trying to impress people who don't even like you and are going to like you less once you have all this stuff. So again, you're back into defining those things. So what would be your next step? So you've done what we talked about in a previous episode of outlining and finding out where your money is going. What do you do next? What do you do after you've identified all those things? Yep.
Sure. So once you find out where you're spending your money and you've made the categories of what's a need and what's a nice to have or what's a want, well, now we have to take a look at, let's start reducing that frivolous spending. Let's start reducing what we're spending our money on wants. And so we need to, you know, figure out what falls into that category. And then start to cut those things out. Now, it's going to be difficult, you know, because it's to go cold turkey. If you're eating out, you know, 3-4 times a week, to stop eating out altogether.
Right.
So you set a goal for yourself. You know, if you're spending $500 a month on eating out, well, let's set a goal to spend less and less and less of that.
So in your scenario, you don't go, like you said, cold turkey. You don't say, okay, the reality is I don't need to go out every night, every day, or for lunch, or I don't have to go out every night for dinner. I don't have to go to the bar every day after work. I don't have to spend this much money on clothes. I could take public transportation instead of drive. What you're saying is you could have all of these things, but it's unrealistic to like do them all at the same time. Is that kind of where you're going?
It's very difficult to, you know, they say, what's the easiest way to eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
One bite
yeah,
at
you're
a time.
Right. You're right.
Yeah, because you start to take a look at all of it, it becomes overwhelming.
Right.
You know, Dave Ramsey, you know, when he talks about how do we get out of debt? You know, we've got all of these credit cards. He says, okay, well, let's not try to take them all on at the same time. You know, choose the one with the lowest balance so you can actually show some results. Mm.
So,
and then pay that.
Okay.
One
so low hanging fruit.
And so, yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So you look at these expenses and say, okay, which one can I cut the easiest, or which one's caused me the least amount of pain? You know, without getting right. too esoteric about it, you're just basically saying, okay, I know I could cut any of these are, you're right. It's not going to be easy. It wouldn't. I mean, people, you get used to a certain lifestyle, but being broke is the lifestyle you want to get out of. Right. So finding a way to do that, cutting these expenses one at a time. You've mentioned going out to eat. I've mentioned things like public transportation, clothing. What are some other examples of where you could look at your overall expenses? Let's focus on expenses. So these are things that you do for day-to-day living. What would be some other right. examples you could come up?
So once we get a handle on, you know, the frivolous spending, you know, cutting down the wants, now we take a look at, okay, so the things that we need, like our mortgage, our electric bill, our gas bill, our grocery bill, we can actually take a look at those things mm-hmm. and say, okay, is there a way to cut down on these expenses? For example, my light bill. Well, there are things that you can do, and there are methods out there that you can look at to reduce your electric bill. Go to zoned electric heating if you have that. LED light bulbs everywhere. Mm. You know, setting timers on, you know, rooms where, you know, you may leave lights on all the time, or there's a tendency to leave the light on all the time. Those are the things that you can do to reduce expenses, at least for the like the electric bill. Solar may be another one.
Oh, okay.
You can have your home analyzed to see how you would fare with a solar panel. Solar panels on the roof.
So a couple of the things you mentioned do have a cost of entry, right? And that might be a struggle for some folks who are trying to cut expenses immediately. Some of those, like solar, for example, requires an investment of some sort. Now, I know there are tax write-offs for that kind of thing and what have you, but at any model, you're going to have to, there's an outlay of cash that I think people have a hard time seeing into the future, or, you know, it's like, okay, this will pay off eventually. But they're, you know, right now it's like, that's just cutting into my money or money I don't have. If I'm running at a right. negative already, I'm either talking about going into debt to innovate. So I'm with you. But I'm thinking that if you're trying to really take really small bites of this elephant, that maybe you start at Starbucks.
No, you're absolutely right, because you're absolutely right. And now when you look at those other things, you have to take a look at how you can achieve those. And if it's an upfront outlay of cash, then that may not be the one you want to start mm-hmm. with. But you're right, Starbucks and groceries, those are the things that you can actually make those decisions without an upfront, you know, outlay of cash. You know, cutting out Starbucks, you know, grocery shopping differently. Mm-hmm. Those are things that you can actually do right away. Yeah.
I know. Go ahead.
And
I'm sorry.
You reduce spending the amount of times you go out.
Right. Right. So you mentioned like how you grocery shop. I know, like, my wife she's not like a fiend with coupon cutting, but she cuts coupons. I mean, she will look for things to go on sale. Like, if she'll go to, she knows I like Diet Mountain Dew, for example. Well, the way the prices are right now, a 12 pack of that will cost you $8. But every other week the Pepsi products will go on sale, as an example. And so she'll wait for them to go on sale, which is, you know, she's getting something that I like and something I drink quite often, and saving money on it. The other day she was on her way to the hardware store, and she knows that every couple of weeks I get coupons from a specific hardware store. And on her way out the door, she said, "Do we have any coupons for this month?" You know, so that is one way to address the shopping thing. So totally on board there. And I think it's part of the low hanging fruit we talk about. You know, it's one of those things where you can say, okay, I'm going to the store anyway. I have to buy food. Do I have to get the most expensive thing? Or for some people, they don't even pay attention. They I need this. I can go get it. They grab the brand name without looking at the, you know, very equivalent grocery brand or department store brand, which sometimes costs half as much. And, you know, you look at those things, it says active ingredient is the same exact percentage of the active ingredient that's in the brand name thing you buy. So yeah, I think that's a start. And looking at the day-to-day expenses that you have and finding ways to reduce them little by little. And I think what happens is you may you kind of catch a fever for it. It's like, wow, look how much money I saved. Can I find some more? It's like finding free money. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that, you know, the low-hanging fruit are the things that you can do right away. And then once you start to see some success, it does become contagious. It does start you to, you know, look for, you know, different ways that you can save money. I think that, you know, seeing some success right away allows you to keep the momentum going. But you have to do the things to see some success right away. And it could be small successes.
Right. So we talked about expenses, and those are different for everyone. One of the examples I know we've discussed in the past is, you know, I where I live is in the city, right? And people see that, and like, I remember my in-laws coming through the first time, and they're like, "Oh, you guys are almost downtown," right? Because they saw the tall buildings in the background and everything. And the automatic thought, and it's not totally off, is that it's more expensive to live downtown somewhere or to live in the city in some areas. The reality of it is, though, by living in the city, we are able to survive with one car because we can walk to most places. I can take public transportation, which I do, take public transportation to work. You know, we don't have to drive. The closest grocery store is a mile, is less than a mile away. We walk to it often. Our favorite restaurants are close by. So we end up spending less money on the means to get to what we want, which is a big expense. I mean, next to your house, for a lot of people, the second biggest expense in their home is an automobile. And for a lot of couples and families, it usually means two or three of those automobiles. And paying more in what you're paying for rent or mortgage, if you can offset that, usually at a lower interest rate, right? I doubt that you're going to get a car note if you're financing for any amount of time, except for these big deals, 0% finance or whatever, if you qualify for that, as you will for a mortgage, right? And then it's over a longer period of time, whatever. Not to get too complicated, but there are trade-offs. And I guess what I was trying to go with that is sometimes it's not just looking at the single things, which is definitely the short course, but also overall, what is your expenditure? Can you save money overall if you make a few changes in your lifestyle?
Right. So I think that, you know, the few changes when you talk about, you know, your mortgage, that's one of the biggest things that, you know, expenses that we have, as you mentioned. Now, getting a new refinancing is a way to cut back or save on your mortgage expenses. Now, depending upon your situation, sometimes it needs to be a little bit more drastic than just refinancing. It may be a matter of downsizing altogether. If you've got a house or apartment or condo that you are just stretched out because of, you know, the expenses, then you may need to take, you know, that step to downsize, move to a smaller place, different location.
That's a very good point. That's definitely a way. I mean, that's a bigger bite of the elephant too, right? I mean, potentially. But yeah, if you're stressing and stretched out, like you said, that's something that definitely you should look at. So moving on from expenses, the other topic I wanted us to cover today was frivolous spending. So, you know, we've covered things like you got to eat, you need shelter, you need clothes, you need a way to get to those things. Right, we need a way to get to wherever it is you get to earn money to get those things. But what about, you know, what about frivolous spending? And what does that mean in terms of what is frivolous? Because, like, you know, we know sometimes you feel like I need a break, right? Or I need to do something for me. That's a great advertising. Excuse that. Let me start over.
Right.
That's a great advertising tactic, right? Is to say you deserve. It makes my skin crawl, Dave, every time I see one of these Mercedes-Benz. I'm sorry, I shouldn't call them out like that. One of these car commercials where they say, you deserve the best, or you should be the first on your block to have. I'm like, oh, and people are like, they get sucked in by that. Like, yeah. And they go, you know what I'm talking about. I'm like, don't do it. It's a trick. Go ahead.
So, yeah, no, you're right. Because it's one of those things where you really have to be honest with yourself in terms of what is because you can convince yourself that this is a need. I need this. Like you mentioned the example of, I'm so stressed out. I need a vacation. So I'm going to book a trip to the Bahamas and spend all this money. So you really have to, and you know, sometimes there are times where you need to get away, to relax. But you may not need to spend, you know, thousands of dollars to do that.
To do it. You're absolutely right. There are other options that could be just as relaxing or just as rejuvenating, and maybe more so when you realize you didn't have to miss a house payment to do it. I mean, I literally heard of people. I won't say the artist's name, but there's a certain artist that's been going around the country, putting on a concert, And there are people who have like posted up on social media, I'm going to miss my rent this month because I have to go to this concert. And I'm like, wow, man, is that serious? So it really means, I mean, you know, again, this is a maturity thing in terms of deciding that your financial well-being and longevity is more important than some short-term satisfaction or inability to wait for things or whatever, that it's a hell of a lot less stressful if you bypass on some of those things. And it doesn't have to be all of them, just some of them to start off with. Right. Don't get into a position where you're not missing rent to go see somebody sing.
That's right. And it is amazing how we convince ourselves that we need to buy something. You know, we jump through all types of hoops to convince ourselves that this is a need. I need to get this. You know, one of the big examples is, you know, people who say, I need to buy another car. Well, a lot of times you don't need to buy another car, because once you run the numbers, it always works out to fix the car that you have rather than buying a whole new car.
It never fails. I hate watching people make that rationalization, right? To say, the car might break down on me and I'll be stranded, so I should go buy a new car. You really do fall back to the, no, just get this one fixed or get this one checked out. If you're concerned about it, take it to the shop. And yes, it might cost you more than 1 month's car payment to get it fixed, but that's the last time you have to pay for that, right? For a year or whatever. And so long-term, again, you're saving money by not, you know, giving. And now if you have the money, it's no big deal, then go do that. But again, we're talking about those of us who feel any kind of stress about not having enough money. These are areas in which you can begin to alleviate that and start looking at your bank account go up instead of down, looking at your debt go down instead of up. So frivolous really falls into, not only is it not in the, you know, four cornerstones of shelter, food, shelter, food and clothing and a means to get to it. It's outside of that realm altogether. And for what reason? You know, I think that's when you start looking at frivolities and wanting to back off of that. So give me your closing thoughts on what we're talking about here and how we should encourage our listeners to be more mindful of these things.
Right. So I think that, you know, knowing where you are, categorize what you're spending your money on, you know, separate them into needs and wants, and really, I mentioned it before, be honest with yourself, whether it's really a need or a want, and then start to whittle away at those wants. You know, first of all, you know, in small bites, and set a goal for yourself. You know, we'll talk about this later on about goal setting, but set a goal to spend less and less on the things that you don't need. And then start to work on, you know, the needs, and then try to, you know, get better at reducing your expenses that are, you know, needs.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head in terms of motivation, by almost make it a game for yourself to say, okay, I know how much I spent. I did the steps of monitoring what I'm spending, just watching, not trying to reduce anything, just learning and seeing what am I spending on a monthly basis. And then finding a way to say, okay, how can I make that number smaller next month and smaller the next month? And finding ways inside of your expenses and your expenditures where you can reduce those things. I think that'll be a huge move towards getting your financial life together. I mean, as you start to reduce your expenses and reduce your debt, you find out you have more available income. And in later episodes, we'll get into really fun ways to use that income to grow your income even further. those will be the really fun, really fun discussions. But first of all, let's get things under control, right?
That's right. Very good.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I think we've covered that. Look forward to hearing from folks about what you think about today's episode, and you know, give us some ideas. Drop us a line to our email address or to on our website, and give us some ideas about what you have done in the past that you, in terms of expenses, and what steps you're taking to reduce your overall expenses and frivolous expenditures. Hey everyone, thanks for listening. Please be sure to visit our website at www.keepitpodcast.com. That's www.keepitpodcast.com. There you'll find links to websites and blogs related to building wealth and other useful information. You can also leave comments about our show and listen to or download all our shows after they air. Also, as a reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be used as financial advice, as we do not know your specific circumstances and are not your fiduciaries. Please consult with your personal financial advisor before making any investments or financial decisions. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. In the meantime, remember, it's not what you make, it's what you keep.